Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, thank you for joining me today. This is Jesse Wagoner, and I have the privilege of being the Bible teacher for this broadcast, and I just want to thank you for joining us today. It is a thrill to be able to share with you. Very shortly, I'm going to get to a message that was shared recently at our church, Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. I shared with the folks live, and I'm going to share it here on the radio with you today, and I'm excited to be able to do that. Let me just tell you, if you want to know more about this ministry and who we are and what we're all about, I would encourage you to visit our website. It's calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. You can get more information about us. If you want more Bible teaching, there's many, many hours of Bible teaching available on the website, available in both audio form and video form, and all sorts of materials and resources for you. So we hope you'll take advantage of that and visit us online. Also, I want to mention to you that you are a valued part of what we're doing. So thank you for giving your time to listen today. Well, I'm excited to share with you from the book of Micah back in the Old Testament. And as we do, we're going to learn some more about what it means to walk with God. And today we're going to talk about walk in His name. And that's part of the verse that we're going to look at here in just a moment. But you know, every life is moving somewhere, right? No one stands still spiritually. We're all walking step by step, decision by decision, moment by moment, day by day, towards something or someone. Now, the question is not whether we're walking, but in whose name we are walking, okay? And we're going to just kind of explore that concept about what it means to walk in His name. Now, in this book of Micah, basically he helps frame that question. His book is divided almost evenly into three parts. One-third, he's discussing the exposure of Israel's sin, why they're in the mess they're in, why discipline is coming, and all that. So it's really an indictment. It's really sort of a courtroom scene where they are brought on trial and found guilty. The second third is the certainty of God's discipline. It's going to fall. It's going to come. There's no getting around it. And thirdly, the last third of the book, as it's put together, a third of the book, it's about the hope of restoration, that God is going to forgive, God is going to restore, God invites us to continue to start walking with Him again. And in chapter 4, where we're at today, chapter 4 belongs in that third section, okay? God pulls back the curtain and shows His people what life can be like when they walk with Him again. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to renew your commitment to Him and walk with Him again. And what we find is a vision of peace and stability, worship and faithfulness. And in the midst of that hopeful picture comes this defining statement that you find in Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. Let's read it together. For all people walk, each in the name of his God, and that's with a small g, okay? But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now, again, this is looking forward to future restoration, and it looks even further forward than even in our time to when Christ will return to the earth. But this is normative. This is what God deserves. This is what God expects, what God wants of us, that we would walk in His name. Now, a couple things about that verse just from the text. Notice it says, for all people walk each in the name of his God. The idolatry that led to the punishment upon Israel was because they worshipped in the name of the gods of all the, around them. He says they all have their gods. They have their gods, that, you know, whoever it is, Baal or Ashtaroth or Moloch or whoever it is. They have their gods. But he says, but as for us, but we will walk in the name, not those names, but in the name of the Lord. Notice it's in the English text, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's that covenant name of God to his people, the name Yahweh. Sometimes it's described as, use the term Jehovah, but it's that name for the God of the Bible, the God that revealed himself to Moses, the God that says that he is the creator of all things. We're going to walk in his name, okay? We're not going to walk for ourselves, not going to walk in the name of someone else. It's going to be in his name, all right? Now, this is not a casual statement. It is a declaration of absolute allegiance. It answers the question, who defines your steps? Who authorizes your life? And here's the basic idea. Micah's telling us that if we walk with God, if we're walking with God, it means more than just believing something here. It means living under His name. So we come to this first point, walk in the name. And this is a significant relationship, a significant relationship. To walk in the name of the Lord is deeply relational. In Scripture, a name represents character, authority, and presence. In fact, many of the names that you see in the Bible, and you'll see this later on when we think about what the name Micah means,
the names given to these characters, these people that interacted with God, that were used of God to reveal His truth, their name is very, very much connected to what God is communicating to us. It's an invitation into this relationship to enter in with Him. So we walk in His name, all right? So a couple of things on that. First of all, we need to focus on the connection. We do not walk ahead of Him, behind Him, but with Him, okay? We're walking in His name. He surrounds us. In other words, what should mark our lives is the fact that we are followers of Christ. We throw around the term Christian. That appears in the Bible, follower of Christ. But do we really represent Him in our values, our actions, what we do and what we withhold from doing? But we do it for Him. It's because we're connected to Him. It's not just a label. It's not just a little catchphrase. It means that we are connected to Him. He is our God, and we are His people. May God just give us a renewed sense of the fact that we are connected to Him, that God has entered into a relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we can become very mechanical, as we've talked about before, but we don't want to be mechanical. We want to just do what we do because we love Him, because we're listening to Him, because we're talking to Him, that we're doing what we do for His glory. So we focus in this significant relationship on the connection we have with Him and focus on the significance of that relationship. His presence really shapes how we live, how we think, how we decide, okay? The significance that of all the people that we could interact with, God Himself gives us this privilege to interact with Him. What an amazing truth. What an amazing reality that we can walk with God. You know, if you picked up your phone and tried to call some famous celebrity or some government official or somebody that is way up the ladder, so to speak, of significance in this world, more than likely you may have trouble getting through to them. You might have to go through multiple layers, and sometimes you'll never kind of break that ceiling to get through to them. We all understand that. Sometimes when we write a letter, send an email or whatever, we wonder if that person is really getting it. Do we ever get that message through? But we focus on the fact that God Himself, the God who brought everything into existence, the God who holds everything together, the God who loved you enough to send Jesus to be your Savior, the Spirit of God who calls us to Himself, and God the Father who welcomes us into His family when we put our faith in Christ, we can have a relationship with Him. What is more significant? Maybe you've known somebody that likes to be what we call a name dropper. Oh, I know this person. I spoke to this person. I have this person in my phone contacts. That may be a very weak effort for significance because I know certain people and I have influence and connection. But think about it. You and I have this significant relationship that we can talk to, that we can relate to, and we can serve the God who is the God of all things, the God who made everything. Now, it's kind of a walk with this one that we're connected to, we see is significant. It does not happen accidentally, okay? Every relationship requires attention to survive, all right? You have a married couple, if they stop communicating, things are going to start to fade and they're going to be heading for trouble. And communication is vital. We talked about that last time as well, as we're still focusing again for the second week on this relational aspect of our walk with God. You cannot grow close to someone that you do not spend significant time with. And you cannot walk in God's name if you never pause to acknowledge Him. Now, this can take several ways, but I just want to encourage us to develop the habit, develop the discipline as we live our lives, to just remember, God is here. I am His, and He is mine. If we could let those three phrases just kind of ring in our minds, what would that do? God is here. He's here with me. I'm not alone. This is not an accident. There is a plan. I have someone I can count on, someone that I can trust in, someone that's going to guide me as I walk with Him. And then to think in terms of this, not only is God with me, but we have Him available to us at all moments of the time. So just kind of acknowledge His presence with Him and kind of let that flow through our lives. Okay, so let's get to some application. Let's think about now, how can we do this rather than just our thinking that God is here with us and or make our lives all about Him, but what's something we could do? I give you this application. Reserve some time daily to spend with God, okay? Reserve some time for God, okay? Not the leftover time, not when it's happened, not when it can happen, not when it's convenient, but intentionally, that I'm going to set my goal, you're going to set your goal, that I'm going to spend some significant time with God every single day. So let me just ask you the question. I don't mean to be too prying into your life, but I think the Spirit of God wants us to ask some pointed questions sometimes. How is your intentional time with God going? Are you reserving it? Is it happening most days? Is it happening nearly every day? Or does it happen occasionally? or does it happen almost never? Now, I'm not talking about church, I'm not talking about going to church, although that's certainly absolutely important and vital, and that's not optional, but just in the regular days of life, are you spending time with Him? To walk in His name requires a willingness to slow down and spend some quality time with Him. So on this day, could you spend some time with Him? Not maybe time that's led or planned or scripted, but a time just to be with Him, a time that you could open the Word of God and let Him speak to you from the pages of Scripture, maybe in some place that you've never looked at before, or maybe a familiar passage you want to go back to again. And then spend some time talking to Him. Review the current status of your life. Have a little bit of a discussion with God about the quality of your relationship. Am I really walking in your name? Think about it this way. If we walk in His name, we represent Him to the world, don't we? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's important for our testimony and our God's knowledge through us out there. But it also is what empowers us to do that because we're spending time with Him. So ask yourself the question. Are you walking in His name and you enjoying this significant relationship, one of connection, one of significance, one that we need to make intentional time to do daily? And maybe we need to make some changes. Maybe we need to set our sights that this day and yet day's future, that we're going to spend some time with God, some daily reserved time for Him. Let's do that together. Next, we want to think about walking in His name and the fact that that is a public relationship, a public relationship. Now, if you just look at this verse again, it says in verse 5, for all people walk. Everybody's living. Everybody's moving somewhere. Everybody's motivated by someone. And all the nations around, the nations that had been those that had troubled them and got them into trouble, are those people that worship false gods and insufficient reason to live. He says, as for us, but we will walk. We make this decision. We make this contrast. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God. We want people to know that. He says at the end of the verse, forever and ever. From this point forward, we want to walk with our God and no one else. So it talks about public. We want everybody to know. You know, he takes these realities. All people walk each in the name of his God with the fact that we want to walk in the name of our God. But everyone's life points somewhere, doesn't it? Everyone's walk tells a story. Your life is telling a story. For people that are around you, people that you're related to, people that you share life with, people that are strangers on the street, people you work with, people you go to school with, whatever it is, you're representing God by the way you're living. To walk in the name of the Lord is not just personal, it is public. People see it, and it's designed to be seen, because how else are they going to see? You think about this. For many people, the only gospel they're going to hear, the only Bible they're going to read, the only spiritual input they may have is you and how you're living your life. You might think, well, that's kind of scary because I'm so far from perfect. You don't have to be perfect, but we need to be dedicated to walking in His name, representing Him well, and we also need to be making progress. And if you mess up, you just say, you know what, I'm glad I have a God who forgives me, and I want to be changing. I want to see things change in my life. So a couple things to think about. First of all, you need to share your story. As you live life, be willing to share how God has met you and how you met Him, how God has changed you and sustained you, and share your story. I want to encourage you to push out a little further than that. Maybe you should just take a moment, paragraph or two, to write out the story of how you came to Christ and the difference that it's made between before Christ and after Christ. Just write out your story and say, well, I've been around my story. No one's going to ever read it. Well, you never know. For one thing, it sharpens your focus on what God's done, so it's going to lead to some rejoicing and worship. Lord, look at this. Look at your story. Thank you for the story of grace. But also, you may have a chance to share it, to write down that you're a believer in Christ. Do your brothers and sisters know that? Does your spouse know that? Does your children know that? Does your grandchildren know that? Do your neighbors know that? Do they know that you're a follower of Christ and you're marching under the banner of His name? Be willing to share your story. Maybe write it down. I've seen some of you have done this publicly, and I commend you for it. You've shared publicly online or verbally. You've shared your story about how you came to know the Lord. You know, and you understand, by being public, someone's not going to appreciate that. Someone's going to think maybe less of you. But does that matter? We're not marching under the banner of their opinion. We're marching under the banner of the God that we know. We are serving. We're walking. We're making progress in His name. His name is what's important. So share your story. And as you do, you're also doing something else. You're also sharing His story, not just about what He's done for you personally, but who He is, the story of God, that He is the Creator, And since he's the creator, he owns everything. And all things in this creation is responsible back to him. That judgment falls on those who do not come into compliance with him and come to him through faith. And that he sent his son Jesus to be our Savior because he loved us. He loved us in ways that is just beyond our comprehension. And that love, as Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved us to the point he laid down his life. That's part of his story. How about the part of his story that we think about at Easter time, and we should think about it all the time? That 3 days after he was crucified, dead, and buried, he came back to life by the power of God. The resurrection is that part of the story that proves everything. Anybody can claim to be a savior. Anybody can claim to be a messiah. Anybody can claim to be religious. Maybe someone could even orchestrate their own death, perhaps. But who could orchestrate their own resurrection unless God was in it? The fact that the apostles believed in the resurrection was what led them even to give their lives for the cause of Christ, many of them. So when you carry his name, life becomes a witness. Your life becomes a witness. Your words, your priorities, your responses under pressure, they quietly announce to anybody and everybody who is your God and who God is, the God that you serve. Go back to this verse again. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. That's a very public thing to do. So here's the application. I've already hinted at it, but let's go a little further. Why don't you sit down and prepare and share your story of faith. You don't need a microphone, don't need a stage, just the faithfulness and honesty. Walking in his name means we're not ashamed to be identified with him. Write it down, post it online, send it to somebody, have it available. Maybe tuck it in your Bible, maybe somewhere down the road, maybe even after you're gone, someone can run into that story of your faithfulness to God because he has been faithful in providing to you an invitation into his family. Let me just take a moment and say this to anyone that's with me today, with us today. If you've never taken that first step of believing in Christ as your Savior, friends, don't put that off. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you, to pay for your sins. And he invites us to come and just believe in him, trust in him. And you can just kind of seal that step of faith through prayer. You can just simply say and pray to God, Lord, telling him that you know that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus is the Savior. And that right now, Lord, I'm accepting you. I'm accepting that you are the Savior, and I believe in you. I trust in you. And now I'm trusting that you're going to forgive me my sins and promise me the hope of heaven in the future and help for the rest of my life. I want to be thankful that I'm one of your children through faith. If you just pray that prayer, that simple prayer, that simple crying out to take you across that threshold of faith, he will fulfill his promises to you. He will fulfill that whoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That all who come to him, he will not cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites you to do so. So you prepare and share your story of faith and let that be your application. And if you need to trust him, I encourage you to take that step. If we could help you in understanding that more, answer your questions, pray with you, whatever you need to do, just reach out. One of us here to church or maybe a Christian friend or family member could have that interaction with you. We'd love to see you come to Christ. Next, we're going to look at the fact as we walk in his name, it is an exclusive relationship, an exclusive relationship. Mike is clear here. Everyone walks in some name, as he says here in this verse 5, for all people walk each in the name of his God. But God's people choose to walk only in his name, okay? It is an exclusive relationship. And we understand for a man and a woman who commit to each other in a relationship, and if that's heading to marriage, is in marriage, there's a certain exclusivity. There is exclusivity to it, that you don't share that relationship with anyone else. It's for that person alone. And we have that relationship with God. So he says this, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. Notice that's singular. Notice it says forever and ever going forward in the future. We want to walk with him. Now, friends, that should be our desire, that we have this exclusive relationship with him. But let's think about this. Some of this might be take a little bit of self-reflection, but maybe we should do this. We need to do this. Identify potential rivals. Is there anything that competes for our devotion with God? It could be something that we're involved in, something we're trying to achieve, something that we enjoy. It could be a hobby. It could be a business. It could be an endeavor. It could be a relationship with another person that gets so focused on that and so needy in your life that you forget about God and not really following him. Is there any potential rivals out there? As simple as this, a couple things that might be helpful. if I'm just, you know, I put my mind in sort of a neutral, let it just go wherever it wants, I'm not thinking about something, not working on a project, I'm not problem solving, where does my mind go? Where does it go? Where does it drift off to? Usually that might be identifying something that may have our attention that draws us to that. And it may be okay, but if it gets to the point where it so takes our attention over that we don't think about God, then there's a problem there. Then secondly, not only identify potential rivals, we need to protect your fidelity, your faithfulness to God. Guard your heart, your habits, your worship. And just simply say, once in a while, say this, ask this. What is keeping me from being a person who walks faithfully in the name of God? Is that I'm so wrapped up in building this identity for myself or my business or my education or my relationships or my fun or all the things I'm trying to fill my life with. Is there something out there that I need to guard my heart against? And just say, I don't want anything with God's help and God's power within me. I don't want anything at all to take me away from just simply exclusively walking in the name of the Lord our God. So people know everything about us. That is all about him. You know, sometimes you see somebody they've been known for a long time. You think about that person, you say, that person, they just love the Lord. How do you know that? Well, they showed it because they had this faithfulness to God, this fidelity to God, that they exclusively served him. Or somebody sometimes say, you know, that person just, they seem to just walk with God. What a great thing to be said for any of us. How do you sense that? How do you see that? Well, they are not letting any rivals in, and they're protecting that in an exclusive relationship. Just like in a marriage relationship, there's things that we do to protect ourselves. We watch where we go, the relationships that are around us, because we want to stay faithful to that person we're committed to. We need to protect our relationship. And for something we need to confess and forsake, some habit that needs to be set aside, some relationship that needs to end, some secret thing that's going on that we can't tell others about, all those are warning signs. And you need to work hard with God's help to protect your faithfulness to him. And then, thirdly, serve him enthusiastically, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, that I'm going to just exclusively serve him. You kind of get a sense of joy here, of what's going on. That indeed, he says, verse 5, for all people shall walk each in the name of the Lord his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And if you read this entire chapter, and I would encourage you to read all of chapter 4 at some point, we're just zeroing in on this one section here. But the reality is that there's great things going on. There's a very famous verse, if you give me just a moment, go back to verse 3, where it says, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. That's when Christ comes back and he sets things in order, and God's people at that point in reality and faithfulness, we're gonna walk in his name, the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Savior of God. It says, verse 3, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's an exact quote that also appears in Isaiah chapter 2. It's interesting, in New York City, on the grounds of the United Nations, there's a statue that was done in 1959 by a Russian sculptor that pictures this man with a hammer in his hand, and he has a sword in the other hand, and he's beating it. And down on the end of the sword, it's more shaped into a plow, and it's taken right from this reality. It says, God is going to be so faithful to us that someday all war is going to end. Not going to learn war. Not going to be one that needs to know how to fight, because he is in control. He's going to bring us peace. And we serve enthusiastically because we have that kind of a future ahead of us. The world might be in a mess now, but you realize that at the end of all things, God wins. Jesus in charge. And that should just pull us back to say, Lord, I want to enthusiastically serve you wholeheartedly. And just what does that service mean? We can do that very informally, if you want to say it that way. My life, my service, serving other people, helping those in need, sharing my faith, being a person that represents Christ well. But then sometimes it's to find a role in the church or find a role in ministry. And many of you are active in ministry. You found a place that you're serving. God bless you. Thank you. Keep using that. Some of you use your time to just be with God's people and to serve and serve in the church and reach out to others that are outside the family of God. Some of you use your talents. You have special talents, whether it's musically or creatively or you're practical to be able to fix and to do those sort of things. Thank you for using your time and your talents. You also can use your treasure. The work of God is supported by our gifts. And as we give to God, we do that faithfully. We do give to him because we support his work, not only here, but around the world. And as I've shared with you as a church, basically 10% of all the giving that we receive is turned right over and goes to fund missionaries around the world. So there's actually a tithe on your tithes, if you could sort of say it that way. And we're excited about the missions team that we have in place that we can serve in those capacities. So our time, our talent, our treasure, all ways that we can serve enthusiastically. So let's think about that, where we go with this, the actuality that we want to have this exclusive relationship with God. All right? We need to just spend some time to identify what are potential threats to our walk with God. Ask yourself honestly, here's the question. What pulls my heart away from God most easily? What is the biggest pull in my life? And that's where you need to do some business. May we maintain this exclusive relationship with God. A name that changes everything. A name that changes everything. As he says here, we will walk in that name, in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. When Julie and I were married about almost 45 years ago, one of the things that took place, and this is very common, she took my family name as her own. That name change was not just paperwork. It was not just anything like that. It was more functional. It represented a new relationship, a shared life, a new identity. And for me, I received that as an act of love. The names that we attach to ourselves say something about who we love and the significance of that one we love. Years later, when our youngest granddaughter joined our family through adoption, me and all of our children and all of our other grandchildren gathered at a courthouse in Charlottesville, Virginia. It was a wonderful, joyous day to go into that courtroom, and it was a happy occasion. Many courtroom scenes are not happy, but this was a happy day. One of the most powerful moments of the whole time came when the judge declared that her name was changed. The new name reflected she belonged to a permanent family and reflected the family that had now received her. When we come to Christ, we don't receive a new name on a birth certificate, but we do walk under a new name. His name now covers us. His authority now defines us. His reputation is reflected through us. And this is what Micah is calling us to, a life that says we belong to him. I shared earlier that I wanted to talk a little bit about the name Micah. The name Micah means, literally, who is like God? Who is like God? It's interesting that in answering that question in the verse we've just been looking at, who is like God? No one's like our God. We want to walk in his name. In verse 18 of chapter 7, the last chapter of Micah, he says this, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy." When he says that verse, who is a God like you, basically Micah is quoting his own name. Who is like God that would do these things, that would forgive, who would take away our transgression, that would put over us his love, his banner of love, that would, as he says here, that would delight in mercy. And he again will have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, verse 19. Our sins can be, or have been done away with in Christ. That's what it means to be like God. Who else forgives like him? Who else restores like him? Who else invites us to walk with him forever? Only the one in whose name you and I get to walk in. The world will always offer us alternatives, other names that we can walk under, but God invites us to a better way, a more significant way, a fruitful, joyful, eternal way to walk in his name. As it says in this verse that we've just been looking at here in chapter 4, may we walk in the name of the Lord our God. Friends, that is a walk worth taking. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this simple verse but profound verse here in the book of Micah in chapter 4. We know, Lord, the world walks after all sorts of names and always has. But Lord, we who know you, may we walk exclusively and may we walk publicly and may we walk in this transformative way that indeed we walk in the significance of who you are. It's in your name, Lord, is a name that changes everything. Help us to joyously and enthusiastically walk in you. Help us to find those areas that pull us in the wrong direction and deal with them. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may his blessing be yours.